And we're looking at Romans chapter 12 and verse 13 in particular, but we're going to get a little bit of context before we look at verse 13. And thank you so much for joining on us on this gorgeous day. And I'm looking so forward to enjoying this day. But what a great way to start it with our church family and with the scripture and worshiping together. So Romans chapter 12 says in verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor," which means to hate what is evil, "to cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." And then verse 13 is what we're looking at today, which is distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And so when we look at these instructions that Paul's giving us here, he's saying this is what the Christian life looks like when you offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God, which is your reasonable service. This is what it's going to look like. This is what the Christian life looks like. Now, if you were to take a lot of these different things and you were to just give them in a TED talk to, you know, people on a stage or go to a motivational conference, you could probably use some of these and say, these are really good things for life. But as Christians, we have a different perspective on all of these things. We're able to come at these from a different angle because of what God has done for us and what he's called us to do. And so we have to be careful to not cross that line of just giving some instruction and saying, you know, it's really good to show hospitality and here's all the reasons. You know, it's good for your family. It's good for their family. You know, okay, you know, that's good motivational talk. Let's go home. You know, it's not enough to just take it from that approach. We have to see what the reason is, what the root is. Why is it that God wants to show us to show hospitality and generosity through our lives and through our families? So the title of this message is Open Hands, Open Doors, and Open Hearts. And I don't know about you, but over many years, you know, we've had a couple mess-ups with trying to show hospitality in our home. When we first started pastoring, when we were just young, I was 21 years old, we had a young family, little kids, right, little toddlers, and I remember trying to show hospitality, and one time we had somebody asked to come to our house. They weren't even from our church, we didn't even know them. They asked to come over, we're like, sure, why not? And 7 hours later, I had not said one word. I was just, And 7 hours later, Angie, she went to put the kids to bed. She abandoned me. She never came back down. And it kind of gave me a little bit of a, you know, a skewed view on it. I was like kind of thinking, man, this is, you know, one of the first, you know, families we've had over. Or it was a couple and the first time we've done this. And it just felt kind of wrong and everything. But then in retrospect, realizing that maybe those people really needed to talk, right? Like maybe that's God's purpose. Maybe I really needed to learn how to listen. Maybe that was God's purpose. I didn't know what God's purpose was in it. But my sister Melanie gave me a word of advice in regard to hospitality. She says that if you ever, you know, it's way beyond the extension, your kids got to go to bed. She says, what we did when we were in Ottawa once, Jamie told me the story that what Melanie did. He says, we're sitting there and it was like, it was just way too long. It was really late. And so Melanie says, would you guys like some more dessert? And so they were like, sure, because my sister Mel's a great cook, right? They're great at hospitality. So she goes in the kitchen and has this paper plate and then she puts a dessert on it. She saran wraps it. And she goes back out, she gives it to them, and says, dessert to go. And so now it's always become our little joke when we're visiting with people, where we always joke around. John and Nikki and I and Angie always do that too, you know, we want dessert to go, you know, we joke around. But a lot of times, if you don't take the right type of attitude towards hospitality, though, you can have a kind of a skewed version on what it is. If you don't realize what it's for. That hospitality is not just, you know, I'm having a great time, you're having a great time, we really think alike and we enjoy each other's company, and that was a great day, let's go home and let's do it again another time. It's so much more than that. Hospitality and generosity within the church has some very deep roots. But first of all, to realize in regard to generosity, 1 John 3:17 puts it really clear. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? when it comes to helping people out, and if you have the means, James also puts it very succinctly when he says, if you see a brother or a sister destitute and need of food and clothes, and you say to them, you know, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things that are needed for the body, you know, you're like encouraging them, but you don't do anything for them, and you have the means to do it, what does it profit? What's the point? And in other words, this is what God has called you to do, is to give of what he has given to you, and that we give out of a generosity that God has shown to us. John Murray says that we are to identify ourselves with the needs of the saints and make them our own. We make their needs our own needs. That's a powerful thought. We think a lot of times of helping people, and that's a good, you know, it's a good thought to think of helping other people, but to actually think that we are identifying with their needs until we make their needs our own. Why is that? Because they're family. They're part of the family of God. And so it talks about distributing to the needs of the saints or helping out within the church, but also, you know, it goes beyond that to talk about hospitality, which is shown both within the church and outside of the church as well. Randy Alcorn, he says, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but my standard of giving. I love that quote too. You know, and that's how we should always look at giving, is that it's not, you know, so many times we look at it as, you know, just being this set, rigid thing that we do, but we should always realize that as God brings more and more prosperity into our lives, that we need to realize that he has prospered us for the purpose of not raising our standard of living, but to raise our standard of giving. You know, and so if you go through the Bible and you look at giving, there's so many different passages on it. One of the ones that good to look at is Ephesians 4:28, which pretty much tells you to get a job. And it's like one of those passages that tells you, you know, hey, if you're stealing, if you're taking something that's not yours, this is, you know, pretty much, yeah, get a job, that you may have the means that you may have so that you can give to those who are in need. I love that. But the problem with the church oftentimes with many Christians is that we stop at that you may have, right? It says, you know, him who steals, let him steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands that he may have. And we stop right there. Okay, now we're working and now we have. But it says that he may have to give to those who now are in need. And so our receiving that, what comes into our home needs to be looked at with a different set of eyes. We need to realize that God has called us to give. You know, on and on in the New Testament talks in 1 Timothy 5:8 about providing for your household. Colossians 3:5 talks about having a war against greed. That's a constant battle. You'll fight that as long as you're on this earth, is a war against greed. And then in 1 Timothy 6:8, it tells us that all we need, what we should be content with, is food and clothing, right? In Canada, also a house, right? And then you kind of need insurance, right, Pete, for that house? Because if it burns down, what are you going to do? But then you also, if you're in the country, you need a car to get to the grocery store to buy food. So in Canada, the list is a little bit longer of the things that we do actually kind of need to get by. But essentially, all we do really need is food and clothes. But anyways, the point of the passage is that we're to be content with our needs. And when that happens, that you'll find yourself free from things such as debt. Debt is a generosity killer. If you want to be generous, deal first with getting rid of debt and get out of the culture of debt. Get out of the whole culture of, oh, you know, you've been so good with your credit, we're going to give you more. The bank is always acting as if it's this big reward. You know, it's like, woohoo, you know, I'm so responsible. Now I get more money to borrow from the bank at terrible interest rates. You know, and so now we can do more. And you got to look at it and realize what it is. It's a trap. Proverbs tells you over and over, it's a trap. If you want to be generous, get out of that debt as quick as possible so that you have freedom to give. And so that is God's will for you in regard to your finances that we have. But that's open hands. That's taking what God has given to you and having open hands and distributing and helping and blessing. But open doors kind of ties in with it. Hospitality is a lot of times also giving of your financial resources, right? So he says that we are to be given to hospitality. And sometimes the English translators don't do a good job with words. And given to, it might have been strong back in the day. I looked up a couple different versions of it, and there, it wasn't much better. But the Greek word that's used there, when it's used in other places, it's used in such a way as to follow and pursue after. And one occurrence actually was Paul persecuting the church, chasing them down. And another occurrence is in Greek literature is to chase down a criminal. So hospitality is to be pursued in such a way as if you are chasing down a criminal. I know that sounds bad, but it's a thing of saying, you know what? I realize that my natural tendency is to avoid hospitality. My natural tendency is just to say, me and my family, we're just going to chill today. I can't be bothered with other people. How many of you have days where you just can't be bothered with other people? Let's be honest. And you're just like, it's just me and we just want our little, you know, thing, and we're just going to relax and enjoy this day. Hospitality says, I am going to pursue this at every opportunity to open my home, open my doors, open up my finances to be a blessing to those that are around me. And I want to bring people into our home so that we can be a blessing to each other. And not only within the church, but also extending that to neighbors and people outside of our normal circle that we usually hang out with. You know, for those of you who are going through the one-year Bible reading plan with us, we're going to be reading Job, I think it's Job 31 tomorrow. And in Job 31, Job is protesting his sickness by telling God that he never neglected the virtue of hospitality. He's saying, God, he says, no sojourner has had to lodge in the street. Nobody's had to live in the street around me, Job says, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. And so in other words, Job's saying, God, I'm doing what you're instructing me to do here. I'm doing what you desire us as your people to do. I open the doors to all the travelers who come around. This is important to have that hospitality to make sure that people have a place. And so it says all through the Old Testament, you will see the importance of hospitality, taking people. And what hospitality is taking people into your home who don't normally belong there. You know, for people who don't dwell there, taking them into your home and visiting with them, spending time with them. And that's what it is to have open doors. And the thing that ties open doors and open hands together is open hearts. And this is the hard part, because it's easy to follow through with the formality of something. It's easy to give out of habit or out of formality. It's easy to also open your home and have people over because it's the right thing to do. But what happens is a lot of times when you take that approach, you will get burned out with hospitality, because you will have the attitude of what is in it for me. And if there's nothing in it for me, then obviously I don't want to do this again, because that was a nightmare. You know, I just don't want to go in that direction. But when you look at it with the attitude of an open heart and seeing what God's purpose in hospitality is, it will totally change your view on what God is doing through hospitality. So here's what it says in 1 Peter about hospitality. Chapter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Without grumbling. So in other words, when the guests have left, the dishes are piled up, and your kids and their kids got together and created a superstorm, right? And it's a mess, it's terrible, and you look at everything the way it is, and you're just like, and you say, Jesus, you know, this mess is nothing, you know, in comparison to what you did in people's hearts and lives, even in the things that I didn't see. Even if it seemed like the visit itself was a mess. God, I know you work something here, because we were obedient to you. We prayed, we trusted you in this, and we trusted that you were going to do something great. So we believe that you're doing something great in hearts and lives right now. Now let's, you know, clean up this mess. And when you look at the grocery bill and it's like, you know, double what it normally is, and you're just kind of like, you know what? It is worth it. It's worth it, because life is not about, you know, it's not about me trying to get more. It's about giving and building God's kingdom and bringing glory to his name. And so my dad taught me this years ago with an illustration when he had whitewashed his barn. And I caught him standing in his barn. I walked into the barn, and he's standing there admiring it. You ever see a farmer admiring his barn, the proud look on his face? And his barn's white, and new sawdust on the stalls, and the floors are swept clean, and it's looking and smelling good, right? Doesn't even smell like a cow's been in there. And he says to me, he says, Wes, he says, you know what? He says, today's a good day to sell the cows. The barn is clean. It's looking good. You know, I have never seen it like this. You know, because barns don't stay that way very long. You know, you get a cow sneezing while doing something else, and that wall is gone, right? The whitewash wall is gone. It's dangerous milking cows. if you've ever milked cows. And so that wall and that barn gets dirty very quickly when you bring the cows back in. But then I remember one day, I remembered what my dad told me, and then when I read Proverbs, it says, without, I think it's Proverbs 14, without oxen, a stable stays clean, right? But you need the strength of an ox for a large harvest. And I talked to the church about this in the past in regard to a full church is a messy church, but I also want to encourage you guys, a full home is also a messy home. You know, I remember sometimes in our home too, dealing with some of the mess of having strangers come into our home and having our car missing the next day and one of our family members contracting scabies from a bed that somebody else slept in and just like all kinds of messy things, situations. I remember relational messes, but I also remember hearing people say, we have never been so blessed. We're part of a family. Some of these men that would come through on work programs, just so thankful to my parents for showing them what family was. And I think one young man became a pastor, and just seeing what God did even in and through the mess. It's a mess, but it's worth it. Opening your homes, opening your hearts, opening your families up in a way that brings glory to God. You know, Jesus actually rebuked the Pharisees because they showed hospitality, but their heart wasn't in it. You know, remember Simon invited Jesus over to his house, and this lady comes in who is disreputable. She earned her living in a way that was looked down upon by all of society, and she came in, and she cried over Jesus' feet. She poured her tears on his feet, and she washed his feet with her hair. You know, she anointed him. And Simon said, if Jesus was a real prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. And Jesus, you know, he could see the whole, he knew what was going on. But you think about how uncomfortable that would have been for all of us in that room if we were in that room as well. We'd just be like, oh, Jesus, you know what this lady does for a living? You know, like, I think for everybody, there'd be a little bit of a tension of what is this? What's going on here? And so, but the thing is that Jesus, he called it for what it was. Jesus, as he turned toward Simon, he said, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water to wash my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little, loves little. And so what it is a realization. It's that connection between realizing how much we've been forgiven and operating out of that forgiveness in the way that we treat others. And this is the lesson that Jesus wanted Simon and those in that household to learn, is that that God honors that type of hospitality. It says in Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And what this is saying is that this isn't a natural thing. Hospitality and generosity are not our natural. Some people I know have a gifting in that area, a gifting of the Holy Spirit in those areas, but for the majority of us, it doesn't come naturally. And even with people with giftings, they have to work at that. They have to partner with God in the development of that gifting. They have to constantly be pushing outside of their comfort zone. And really, I love what John Piper says about this. He talks about it as being kind of like a launch pad. Your home should be a launch pad. Because what happens is, just like when you send a rocket off to outside of orbit, I don't know if you guys know this, but it takes 7.2 million pounds of thrust. That's 16 million horsepower. That's more than all your tractors, Larry. You know, that's a lot of horsepower, 16 million horsepower to push that rocket out of orbit. Your selfishness and self-centeredness and my selfishness, my self-centeredness, it's an atmosphere, a gravity that pulls us down. And if we were to just continue on, we would just take care of ourselves. We would just be, you know, it's all about me. But if you show hospitality in your home, and you act hospitable towards others, and you do it with God's love and God's grace and God's generosity, trusting in his power, what happens is it's like a launch pad in which your home is set free from selfishness and self-centeredness. And I love that illustration. And I just want to encourage you, but at the same time, I realize our church is generous. Our church is so hospitable. I can't get over at the hospitality and the generosity and the service that this church shows to each other and to those that are outside of our community as well, and the outreach that happens. I don't have to do a whole lot of formal outreach as lead pastor in the church. I don't have to try to organize a whole bunch of evangelistic things. People just share their faith. They invite and open their homes for people to come in, and they show the love of Jesus in their homes. And that's a powerful thing. You know, I was reading a book this week on hospitality, because I was preaching on hospitality, so I thought a book to read on hospitality would be a good thing. And it was the two authors. One author is a lady who opens her home to hospitality, has been doing so for years, and just has this real servant's heart in regard to helping and serving people, and just talks about what it looks like. And the other one is a girl who's been affected by that hospitality. What it was is a girl who, highly educated girl, she was a lesbian, and she said that she was against Christians because they're judgmental, and she wanted to write a book against Christians and just totally destroy Christianity and prove, she wanted to pull the veil and show how corrupt they all were. And so she got invited to this home, and she thought, these are perfect targets. I'm going to write my book on them. And she did write a book after she got saved. She wrote a book on hospitality and how the love of Jesus was shown to her in such a way that it threw away all her arguments against what God was doing in this, in and through his church, and totally disarmed her and allowed God's grace and love to come into her life. And she accepted Jesus as her Savior, and he set her free into a new way of living life. And so reading this book, it just showed me the power of hospitality. But why then are we focusing on it if it's so prevalent here, if it's so evident already? I think that we still need to focus more this morning on the motive and the reason why we show hospitality. And it's told to us in the Old Testament in Leviticus 19 is probably the most succinct explanation. It says, "And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Okay, so the reason why we are to accept strangers, the reason we are to show hospitality, the reason we are to bring people who do not know Jesus into our home and to invite them in and to show God's generosity and love is because, "For I am the Lord your God." But we look at that and say, well, what does that mean? "For I am the Lord your God." If I was to start reading to you the Ten Commandments and I was to say, "For I am the Lord your God," what comes next? That's right. "Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who brought you out of bondage." We all know that because we've heard it so many times. The Jews would have known this. And so when that is said in the book of Leviticus, "For I am the Lord your God," connected to that, it's a summary of "who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who brought you out of bondage." So in other words, when God says, "Show service, be a servant to others, for I am the Lord your God, because I set you free, I want you to bring that freedom to others." You see that? So this is what he's doing here in Leviticus. And so he's giving that summary. And so it's the center of who God is. God shows freedom, grace, love. He sets the captives free. That's the center of who he is, and he does it for a purpose. And the purpose is so clearly stated in Psalm 106, where it says, "Yet he saved them for his name's sake." You know, first he's going through all the list of reasons why he didn't save them, but he says the reason why he did save them, "For his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power." The purpose is that he might make known his glory, that he might show his grace, his saving grace, his saving power. And so we, for the same reason, because we are to be holy as God is holy, because we are to be like God, God wants his children to be like him. It says in Ephesians, to be imitators of God as dear children, we are to show grace and love and hospitality for the same reason, to make known his grace. You understand that? Changes things when you invite people over, doesn't it? That's why Jesus said, don't invite people over who can reciprocate. Don't invite just people, you know, yes, of course, invite your brothers and sisters. Invite people that, you know, spend lots of time with people that are in your circle. That's fine. But invite people over who can't reciprocate. Invite neighbors and people over that are on the margins of society that you normally wouldn't have over, people who could never possibly have you over to their place. And do this for the reason of showing God's grace. And so this ties in with the New Testament. Hospitality carries in. Some of the things in the Old Testament didn't carry over into the New Testament other than in symbols and pictures. You know, and some of them we're thankful for. Circumcision, hallelujah, did not carry over to the New Testament, right? That's a difficult one to talk to new believers about. So this here carries over so seamlessly because it's the very nature of God. And listen to this. It says in Ephesians, it says, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. In other words, you outsiders, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And so you were strangers, you were foreigners. That's us, right? At one time, we didn't go to church. We didn't worship God. We didn't hang out with Christians. We weren't redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We were in darkness. We weren't walking in light. We were self-centered. We were just doing our own thing. And then God came, and he brought us into, he called our names. He brought us out of darkness into his amazing light. It says having, and why did he do this? Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. Why? To the praise of the glory of his grace. This is why God does these, why God does this. This is why he brings us into his family, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And so therefore, when you practice hospitality within your home becomes a launching point for God's grace and his mercy, for love to be shown. Breaks your home out of self-centeredness and self-focus. It's not about just having a nice, quiet little time to yourself, but instead it's about imparting life and grace to those who need help and mercy. It's something that we do prayerfully. This is a practical part of hospitality. First, pray. You know, don't just, pastor says hospitality, I guess we'll have someone over. Pray about it. Say, God, who do you want me to show grace and love to? Show me a situation or a circumstance. You know, just put a name on my heart of somebody that we need to connect with. Whatever it is, God, show me. And invite each other into each other's home. Show hospitality at church as well. You know, I love the fact that, you know, I'm not really into having like a hospitality team in the sense of having certain people and you know, you have to have a name tag and you're now responsible for hospitality because it's official, right? It's like, okay, that's their job. They're volunteer to do this. I love it that the whole church is hospitable. I love that because it's a culture within the church because it's what Jesus did for us, therefore we do for others. And, you know, things that we can do to show hospitality in this particular church, you know, one great way to show hospitality to people is when they ask you where the washroom is, don't just explain it to them because they'll never get there. It'll take you way too long, and like 3 days later, they'll still be looking for it. So just show hospitality. Say, do what you would do in your home, you know? Say, let me show you. You know, and take them and show them. Just show them that grace. Go a bit above and beyond. You know, if you notice that they have kids, that you say, have you heard about our nursery? Let me show you where the nursery is. If you see them with other children, say, you know, kids' church is after the worship and they go through that door at the front. Make them feel comfortable. Make them, you know, make it so that we don't have to create, a pamphlet that explains all of that to them and hand it to them so they have to read it all. But just show it and live it. And let's all, as a church, let's be a hospitable church. You're already doing it. I just want to encourage you. That's the culture here. And to get on board with that with what God, and God's the one that set that up for us. He led the way in it. He's called us to it. You know, a couple things about hospitality. I remember going to Bob and Donna's years ago when my kids were really little, and we kind of felt a little nervous because, you know, sometimes you go to someone's house and you got little kids, and the whole time you're worried about their kids destroying the house. And so you're just like, you know, protecting their house. You feel like the whole time you're there and you go home, you're just exhausted. You're like, I defended their house from my children for, you know, 2 hours, you know, and you just don't feel relaxed, right? So when little kids go over, you put things up. We learned this the other day. We learned that we had to childproof our place. We had a bunch of little kids over and we're like, oh, we feel bad for those parents because we didn't childproof before they came. And afterwards, we're like, oh, next time, we childproof. And because we have a grandkid coming too, so we have to prepare for that too. But Bob and Donna, when we went to their house, their focus was right away on our kids. And then for dessert, they took their kids out to their garden, and they had these little desserts planted in their garden with Mississippi mud, like, you know, the Oreos, and there's like those gummy worms in it. and a little flower in it. It was just so adorable. And the kids just loved that. They made those kids feel so valued and, you know, and focused on that as parents, it just melted our hearts. They ministered to our kids. And so that's just a little above and beyond. Just really being thoughtful of saying, God, how do I show these people love? How do I do things that are just special to make sure they feel comfortable and to make sure they know that we know their needs and that we're there for them? And so it's those little going above and beyonds. I remember once going to Dave and Vaughn's just a few years ago, and I had to go there for some reason. And they said, why don't you just come for supper? And so I came for supper, and they had an amazing meal. And it was shortly after we had lost one of our youth, and I hadn't had a time to break down. Like, I never cried. And so I was sitting with them, and all of a sudden, I had, like, this emotional breakdown. I felt really bad for Dave and Vaughn, but they were so gracious. They just prayed with me, and they were just there for me, and they helped me through that, and just having that, you know, that freedom. And so for them, for that day, that was their ministry. You know, and I think of, John and Nikki. You know, you feel literally like you're a part of the family. You know, you just feel like this is like, you know, this is your home. I mean, your name's on their rocks, for goodness sakes, right? They have this cool little thing where they just pray for people. They put their, and they pray over these names, and the rocks are a reminder until those prayers are answered and they can take them out. And then I guess they have another rock pile of answered prayer, right? And I love that. I love that attitude in regard to showing hospitality. Your house doesn't have to be perfect. You know, if anything, just kick the toys in the corner, shove the stuff off the table and say, you know, hey, this is home. You know, because the person that just, you know, is visiting you, their home probably looks the same. And you're probably going to make them feel terrible if your house is perfect, right? You're going to make them think that they'll never meet that standard. So, you know, like if you're John and Nikki, put some dirt out, you know, like put some dirty bowls on the table or something. Sorry, guys. I'm just saying, you don't have to, because I know for some of you, if your house had to be totally clean, you would never be able to have someone over. And so I just want to challenge you. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be an elaborate meal, you know? Just make sure that you're always prepared. Always, see, because if you're going to pursue hospitality, you have to do it in a way that you are prepared, right? So you make sure that in your freezer, you got a bunch of Costco burgers or something, right? And that you can throw them on the barbecue and you have the ingredients to throw a big salad together. And that way, when you come to church especially through the summer months, and you're just like, hey, come over for a barbecue, you know that you don't have to worry about home. One, it doesn't have to be perfect at home. Two, you have the stuff there to cook a dinner. And so you're free to invite people over and to hang out and enjoy some time. If it's winter time, all you do is you take the Dutch soup, you add a little Maggie to it, right? You add some water, and all of a sudden your soup becomes double. You just get 3 meatballs instead of 6, right? We know how this works. So just want to challenge you. Those are some practical things. And I know practical things are important. You know, in the Bible, it gives you some practicals, you know, washing feet, you know, anointing with oil. Culturally, we just don't do that. If I came to your home and you tried washing my feet, I'd be like, whoa, you know, no, I don't need any, I need protein, you know, I don't need feet washing, I need a burger, you know, I'm a little hangry, I haven't eaten yet, you know, so you take care of real needs, and so you interpolate what the Bible says to today's culture, and you look after each other's needs and minister to each other in that way, and then you just sit there and you talk. You look for ways to introduce Jesus to those who don't know Jesus. You give an answer then for the hope that lies within you. And for those that do need Jesus, you talk Jesus. You talk about his word. You encourage each other. You spend some time just talking about his beauty of nature. You talk about what God's been doing in your life. You talk about what you've been studying in the word. And then you just talk about families and life in general. And you talk about ways of bringing more people into this family of God, because our God is a God of hospitality. Our God is a God who goes the distance to bring people into his family, because he is a God who glorifies his name and makes his name known and his grace known throughout the world.